We don't have to switch.
No, and the shadow was, should we maybe, yeah, maybe is it better to switch to 12 o'clock rather than Mondays?
We'll talk about it next semester once we start.
But people on the recording probably want to hear it. Like, they
we'll figure it out. But for now, for the rest of the semester, we'll stick to 11:45. Next semester, we'll stick with Monday and Wednesday, and we could decide about 11:45 or 12. And hopefully today, but probably next time, we'll finish Lisha. We'll have a couple days for Chazara. Then we'll start with Bishul. Okay. And the Bechina, of course. Okay, so let's Chazar very quickly. We'll talk about more of that after Shir, if anybody has any further questions. I don't know if I have any further answers. Chazar quickly from what we saw at the end of last time, we saw that there were what we more or less said four schools of thought in terms of halach lemaisa about how we paskin with respect to the machlokas tanaim and lisha. So the opinion of the Sefer Truma is that we paskin like Rabbi, that nesinas maim there's a chiyav chatas. Rov Rishonim disagree with this, as we will see shortly. The Ramah does seem to indicate that one should be choshesh for this opinion. So that's obviously generally going to be a very big chumrah. The Rambam is very makel. First of all, he paskins like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. More importantly, he says that something that's a lav bar gibul, such as more sun, has no iser d'orais at all. Presumably, the Pshat in the Rambam is that when you have something that's a lav bar gibul, like more sun, let's say bran, so even when you mix it with water, when you mix bran with water, they don't turn into a proper dough, and they're not fully integrated. They're not, bran isn't, doesn't merge together like flour, let's say, in water. And therefore, it's not shayach to have an iser d'oraisa. Now, the Chazon Ish says about the Rambam that he was a das yachid. And what's going to be significant about that, as we'll see more today, is that it would then seem that most Rishonim don't insist on a proper dough, and they hold that you could be chayav midoraisa even when the objects are not fully integrated, the ingredients aren't fully integrated. If we look at the Sefer Truma and the Rambam as outliers, so what is the mainstream view? So here we noted last time there was a debate between the Bir Halacha and the Chazon Ish about what Rov Rishonim hold. The Bir Halacha said Rov Rishonim paskin like Abaye, that something that's lav bar gibul, you could be chayiv even with Nesinas Hamayim. And that's based off of Tosfos, who holds that even though the Gemara does seem to refute Abaye, you can defend Abaye Shita by being machalik between two types of lav bar gibul. What's the logic of Abaye? Why would Abaye hold that if we generally paskin, like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, that you're only chayav b'shas gibul, why is it that when you have something that's a lav bar gibul, you're chayav b'nesina samayim? So it's strange to say that it's more integrated with water. Rather, what's more reasonable to say is that it's fully integrated with water, or nearly fully integrated with water. There's nothing chashuv missing, meaning to say that there's, or to put it a little differently, maybe in a more positive way, there's chashivos melacha to the nesina samayim. Because when you actually do the gibul, you're not going to be adding too much more. Because anyway, when you do the gibul, there's not going to be full-fledged integration because we're talking about something that's a lav bar gibul. Whereas, let's say, when you're talking about something that's a bar gibul, like flour and water, so when you add the water to the flour, though, obviously, something happens. If nothing happened, then you know, even Rebbe would be mechayev. But you're, you know, ha'ikar chaser when we're talking about something that's bar gibul. When you're talking about something that's lav bar gibul, so the ikar isn't chaser, and therefore you're going to be chayev. Something, some type of svar along those lines. So basically our question is, The question is adding the water a significant act? And the answer is, if it's a law of Bar Gibbol, yes. And if it's a Bar Gibbol, no, because you're still chaser the main thing. And finally, the Chazon Ish's opinion. The Chazon Ish says Rav Rishonim certainly paskin like Rosh Yehuda, but they don't paskin like Abai. They paskin like Rav Yosef, and therefore you never have to worry about Shas Nesin Esamayim. And that's because the Pashup Shad is Abaye was schlugged up. Tosfos defends Abai with the Dochak answer. Most Rishonim don't cite that answer, and therefore the majority of Rishonim are going to paskin against Abaye. So the Chazon Ish, more or less, then, is a kula vis-a-vis the Mishnah Berurah's Psak. According to Mishnah Berurah's Psak, where the Rov Rishonim will sometimes have to contend with a potential Isser Del Raisa B'Shas Nisina Samayim, whereas according to Chazon Ish, according to Rov Rishonim, you never need to contend with an Isser Del Raisa B'Shas Nisina Samayim, and the only issue that we need to address is B'Shas Gibbol. Okay, so that's a little chazar from last time.
You can come as well.
Yes. Well, maybe not. That's going to. We'll talk about that in a moment. What you said is not at all obvious, but is possible. Okay. So as we noted, the Gemara introduces a number of shinuyim. So we'll just go through the Gemara on Kufnun Vav, and the Gemara basically tells us that sometimes there's a shinuy. So more or less, for the Rambam, all these shinuyim are very easy to deal with. Why? Because the Rambam is going to argue that whenever we're matir with the shinuy, it's because we're dealing with an Issur D'Rabbanan. So, to be matir, an Issur D'Rabbanan with a shinuy, even though that's not always the case, Chachamim don't always permit Issurim D'Rabbanan b'shinuy, but the fact that the Chachamim basically said, In Melechas Lisha, when you're dealing with Lisha D'Rabbanan anyway, to be matir with a shinoi, okay, that's very easy to deal with. We're going to go through the Gemara now, but the difficulty is going to be basically in everybody else besides the Rambam. Because everybody else holds that we're dealing with potential Lisha Midor Raisa, and then you have to deal with two questions. Number one is, why were they matir with a shinoi? And number two is this shinoi really good enough to be matir what would otherwise be an Isser Del Raisa? That's the question they have to deal with each and every shinoi. And you'll see, and we'll see now together, that that this question is really at the heart of the sugya, and the Rishonim, and especially the Achronim, spend a lot of time grappling with this question. So the first example is Al Yad. The Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, in Govlin as Hakali, Yesh Omrim Govlin. Kali seems to be some type of flour that was dried in an oven or was baked, and now you're going to want to mix it with water. So there's a question whether you could do it on Shabbos, and the Gemara clarifies, Man V'yesh Omrim, who are those that permit it? Amar Rav Chista Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehudahi. Why? Because if it was Rabbi, so then there's nothing you could do once you add the water. Game's over. But if Yaldik Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, so there's no Isser B'Nesina Samayim, and Mimela, we could be Matir Ayde, some type of Shinoi at Shas Gibbol. And what is that? So the Gemara clarifies, Hani Mil Hudim Mishani, when would anybody permit doing Lisha on Kali? Heichad Mishani, Amar Rav Chista, Al-Yad, Al-Yad. So what's the Shinoi that we allow? Al-Yad, Al-Yad. So what does Al-Yad, Al-Yad mean? So Rashi writes like this: Rabbi Yosi, it's Rashi Gimasa, Rabbi Yosi Yehuda, and there's actually some Girsa show over here that the Marshal deals with. Are we dealing with an Isser D'Raisa or not? But briefly, Rashi says, "Di Rabbi Yosi, Di Rabbi Lo Mahani Shinoi De Benesinas Mayim." Argyos and Rashi is Mischayev, again Samar Mochek. Afil midi lav bar gibol, kadarinu gabi morsan. Al Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, de amar chi gavel, hacha govlin, kila achar yad. Kid mefaresh va'aziel. V'ani midi lud mishani. Says Rashi, what does al yad mean? Kila achar yad. So, l'chora, what I would have said is that means kila achar yad mamish. I don't know what that means. I go ahead and I hold my spoon this way and something like that. Then I mix with the back of my hand. Some type of funny form of mixing. Now, why would you perhaps not want to read Rashi that way? Because that's not what al-yad al-yad usually means. Generally speaking, as the Rishonim note, al-yad al-yad means a little bit at a time, not ma'at. Now, the problem with saying al-yad al-yad means what it usually means, namely mat ma'at, is that that sounds like chasi shir. Especially going to Rashi, chasi shir is asma natar even on Shabbos. In other words, there might be good reason why Rashi did not translate al-yad al-yad in this case to mean mat ma'at. Al-yad al-yad is an isha daraisa. We could never possibly permit that. So, therefore, we need a new interpretation. In other words, again, if you say that Kali is a lav bar gibul, there's no Isser d'oraisa. So then, it's very easy to translate al-yad as you normally do to mean ma'at ma'at. In fact, that's exactly what the Rambam does. The Rambam says that al-yad means ma'at ma'at. The Rambam says Kali is lav bar gibul. So we're it's a taka, shvacha, shinoi, nunu, because it's an Isser d'rabanan in the first place. So for the Rambam, that's great. But for Rashi, it sounds like we're dealing with a potential chi of chattas. Again, certainly Argyr says a potential chi of chattas, though the Marshal changes that. And still, al-yad al-yad works. So that is why the Chai Adam claims that Rashi here translates al-yad al-yad to mean kilachar yad, not the usual translation of the word, because it's inconceivable that we would translate it the normal way, because that would be chatzi shir asur min haTorah. And even if you explained that it was somehow a shinoi, still, we couldn't possibly be matir nisa d'oraisa with a shinoi like this. That's the approach of the Chai Adam, bedas Rashi. Even if that's Rashi's view, the Rach, the Rif, the Rambam all translate al-yad al-yad in a normal fashion of ma'at ma'at. So how do we justify that? So within the Rambam, I have no issue. But is it possible to learn that al-yad al-yad means what it normally means, namely ma'at ma'at, and still understand that that shinoi solves what would otherwise be an iser de'oraisa? So the Chazon Ish, it's Nun Ches Aleph, says, yes, it would, it does work. And he claims maybe this is also Rashi's view. The Bir Halacha already questions the Chai Adam's reading in Rashi anyway. So the Chai Adam says, the Chazon Ish says, yes, it would work. Why should Al-Yad Al-Yad work? Because Al-Yad Al-Yad is a very good shinoi. Why would Al-Yad Al-Yad be a good shinoi? Shouldn't that just be Chatzi Shir Asur Min HaTorah? The answer is that, well, the Chazon Ish, I should suppose, says two options. First, he sort of says his own theory, and then he says option B, which is the Ramban. His own theory is that Hashinoi she'os al-yad al-yad, I'm reading you from the second paragraph over there, matzil mi'isr deraisa. V'nira de'ayri she'nosin ha'chometz al hameruba b'kliyachad, v'achar kach notel ma'at ma'at l'kliyachar magabel u'matzir kulan l'kliyachad. In other words, we're not talking about a case where you just make like a little bit at a time, but rather you have a big bowl, and you put the chometz onto the kali. Well, that's okay, because we're not choshesh for Rebbe, and we're not choshesh for Tosfos. And then you take this big bowl with the kali and the vinegar on top, and you distribute it to a lot of little bowls, and then you mix it in those little bowls. That's what al-yad al-yad means, a little bit at a time, and then you mix it all back together. And that's a greisa shinoi, so it's going to work, even though if you did it in normal fashion, it would be an iser deraisa. Avale mitchila lakach mat kali bekli ve... I don't know what I wrote here. Alav hachomet, probably venosin, alav is hachomet, umegablo ein zeh shinoi. So if you just did a little bit at a time, right, we're going to talk about this when we get to baby cereal. That's going to be the big practical question with Lisha in a moment. But if you just took like a little bit of kali and poured in a little bit of vinegar, just a little bit amount, I don't know how much, just 1 ounce, half an ounce, whatever it is, that's not what we're talking about over here. We're talking about over here where you do this rather elaborate type of shinoi, and that's why it'd work even to solve an iser de oraisa. Because you're doing it in a really strange way. Chatzi shir is to take a half a shir, a little bit of kali and a little bit of chometz and mix it up. Here, you take all the kali and the chometz, you put it together, and you transfer it to the little kalim, and it's going to be unevenly distributed, like some has a little bit more, some has a little bit less. You do it in this very strange way, and it's not just that you're doing... Chatzi shir means you do everything normal except less. Here, you're doing everything abnormal, right?
You know, when you pour the large bowl to the small bowl, it will inevitably mix, but that's not considered...
Well, the pouring isn't a problem. That for sure, Shinoi Be'elisha. But even regardless, you scoop it up. This methodology of doing ma'at, as opposed to the normal way of doing it, you do everything together. Instead, you're going to do a little bit at a time, little. That's a very unusual way of doing things, and therefore constitutes a Shinoi.
Does he have any raya that, like,
as they state. In other words, the as opposed to the Chai Adam and the Mishabura, we haven't got the solution in yet, but as opposed to them, both of them say, you know, look, the Gemara sounds like this Shinoi works to be Matrinus Adraisa. Doesn't make any sense, so we're going to say some type of Dolchak Pshat. What the Chazon is saying is, no, it says in the Gemara, this works, so it works. And you could argue that this is a Shinoi that's good enough to be Matrinus Adraisa. Why? Because sometimes when you do things a little at a time, it is a very, it's significant enough of a Shinoi to be Matir. In other words, the Chazon Ish over here.
But he makes it a new Kimta in the case, though. Isn't
no,
it?
It's not. He's just giving, I don't think it's a new Kimta as much as what would Ma'at mean such that it would be a Shinoi. I'll tell you what. You could call it a new Kimta in the sense it is a little bit of a new Kimta. But yeah, all he's trying to do is read the Gemara. In other words, what he says to the Chai Adam and the Bir Halacha is, you guys are denying what the Gemara seems to actually be saying. And he's saying, no, we'll read the Gemara Kapshuto, and this could be Shinoi. We still haven't addressed the question of why we're Matir this. In other words, this just explains why it's not Issa Deraisa. Why did they even say it's Mutter? So the Beis Yosef answers that even though usually something, a malacha deraisa done with a shinoi is also mid rabbanan, in certain cases when there is a need, they were matir. In this case, the need was because you need to feed your animals. And apparently, there's no, you know, probably wasn't such a good way to feed your animals without doing some form of lisha. So they were matir, lisha, bishinoi, under these circumstances because of the need. It's an exception. We've seen other cases of this. You know, maybe tochein b'saka kasa de sakina, if you don't say like the shibule alaket, that it's a double shinoi, and the like. There are times that they were matir isurim b'shinoi, mipnei tzorech, and this is one such case. And that's what the Chazon Ish is saying. Then the second option, which I think he prefers a little bit, because there's a Rishon that says it. The Ramban, he has to change the girsa in the Ramban, but probably anyway you'd want to change the girsa. The Ramban says that like this. Afal pish megabel kol tzarko, ein derech gibel bekach, she'ein darko ela. So the old version of the Ramban, the green Ramban's already changed this, but the old version of the Ramban says, she'ein darko ela b'maducha. So what does that mean exactly? Because usually you don't do lisha in a maducha. So he already really means to say, and is ein darko ela b'meruba. In other words, what the Ramban is saying over here is very simple. And this is by far the simplest reading of the Gemara. When the Gemara says that mat is mutter, it's because the normal way of doing this is a lot. And when the normal way of doing it is to do a large amount, then doing a small amount is a shinoi. That's what mat means. Certain types of things, you know, sometimes they make small amounts, sometimes they make big amounts. Right? Like baby cereal, you know. Usually we only make an ounce or two at a time. We make very small amounts. Other types of things, I don't know, like bread, lisha with flour and water, you know. I don't know if anyone ever, like, needs one ounce of flour and water and makes, like, a little 1 ounce loaf of bread. Right? You do a lot of it. And certainly, with the Kali that we're dealing with over here. So we're talking here about the animal food, the cow food, right? I don't know what food. But the point is, nobody ever does a little bit at a time. You only make large amounts at a time. Probably that's because it's a very, because of that's what animals eat, and because it's a pain to do a little at a time. Whatever the reason is, it's like the Ramban says, "Ein derech gibul bekach shein darko el b'meruba." So, therefore, it's a shinoi. And once it's a shinoi, so again, normally we would say shinoi sasam b'drabanan, but over here, tzarcha behemos, we were mako and allowed for this iser deraisa b'shinoi. So basically, the shinoi, again, this is the easiest, by far the easiest way to read the Gemara, right? The Gemara says it's mutter. Why? Because you have to do a little at a time. Why? That's a shinoi. Why is a little at a time shinoi? Because the normal way to make this thing is a lot at a time. Now, one very important application emerges from this, as the Chazon Ish notes, which is that this is not going to work for everything. In other words, this shinoi is only going to be relevant for something, at the very least, that the normal way of doing it is a lot at a time. So, let's say, if it's the type of thing that you make a little at a time, like baby food, baby cereal, so then this shinoi might not be available. And we'll see this is going to be a general concern of the Chazon Ish. As we'll see as we read through the Gemara. The Gemara gives a number of possible shinuyim for all sorts of different types of foods. There's one shinui for mustard, and there's one shinui for morsan, and there's one shinui for kali. And the question is, should we assume that all these shinuyim work for everything, and the Gemara just happened to say one for, give you know, the easiest example? Or no, these are very local, and each one works for that particular one, which will not be very helpful for us, because we never make morsan or kali or mustard on Shabbos. We want to do all sorts of other things. And the question is, shinoi is going to work. So the Chazon Ish, though he's somewhat uncertain, is note that towards being machmir on this question. Certainly in this particular example, there's good reason to be machmir, that this shinoi, at the very least, should only work for things that the derech is to make a lot of. And maybe only kali alone. It's very hard to know. It's very hard to apply these rules. So far we have, again, we'll say three mahalchim to understand what the heter of aliyat is. Heter, explanation number one, the Rambam, anywhere we're dealing with the Nisra Drabbanan, so therefore it makes sense that they could be matir man mat. Chai Adam, that this is an Nisra Deraisa, so the heter is because it's klachar yad. Chazon Ish, either version A or version B, but the point is that doing mat-mat, whatever that means, whether it's dividing it up into a little bunch of cups or doing a little bit at a time when a derech has to do a lot at a time, that constitutes a bona fide shinoi to bring it from a level of deraisa to rabbanim, therefore they're matir. Finally, option number four is to be halacha. This is Simon Shin Chav Aleph Sif Yadala, Dibor Maschel Shema Yavo. He's very much bothered by this question. He doesn't like the Chai Adam's answer. And he says, Al Karachach, we have to say that according to Tosfos, there's no issa deraisa over here, because again, we couldn't possibly be matir and iser deoraisa with this type of non-shinui. Now, there's in that sense, he's agreeing with Chai Adam that mat could never possibly be matir what would otherwise be an iser deoraisa, but he's disagreeing with Chai Adam because he thinks it means mat. So therefore, we have to come up with some kind of reason, al korchenu, some type of reason why we're not dealing with an iser deoraisa and kali. Well, what could that possibly be? We have to be creative over here. What possible reason could we come up with to say that we're not dealing with an issue deraisa? Says the Mishnah Berurah, I'll tell you what. Maybe because it's already baked. In other words, as we said before, kali is flour or grain that's been parched or dried in an oven. It's already baked. And therefore, something that's already been baked, there's no lisha deoraisa. Now, this is a big chiddush. I don't think there's anyone that said this before the Chai Adam, the Mishnah Berurah, the Bir Halacha. And in fact, it's not actually at all clear why this should really make a difference. So it sounds like he's saying it's not leash anymore. It's tikkun ochel. Why would that be? I think you can explain it more than one way. One possibility is sort of focusing on the sidur depas, something we've seen in other melachos, that if you see Lisha as a hachana for afia, so or bishul, so then if you did afia beforehand, it's not going to qualify as lisha. Alternatively, since it's already edible and it's been cooked and baked, so the adding of the water, the blending of the water, isn't a tikkun so much. I think the first interpretation might fit a little better with his words. But the basic point is that we're here talking about something that's been cooked or baked already, and therefore it's not shayach lisha deraisa. And since we're dealing with the nisa derabanan, so then it's easy to understand why we're allowing it mat. Before your question, maybe a shtickle raya for the theory of the bir halacha comes from a tshuvas Rambam, which is quoted actually at the end of the siman in Shin Chafal Sif Yud Tes. Now again, the Rambam himself doesn't need to come on to any of this, because like we said before, Rambam has an easy time with this sugya. But tshuvas Rambam about something totally different, but that might perhaps be assuming the very same thing as the Mishnah Brura. What does the tshuvas Rambam say? So the tshuvas Rambam records this minhag that they used to have, that they would leave on the fire before Shabbos some type of dish comprised of all sorts of different ingredients. And when they took the dish off the fire, Magisin Baharbe Umarvin Osa Ad Shet Misarev Habasar Veharifus Vehamayim Vetismach Vetease Kula Guf Echad Upamim Shemesir Namayim Me'al Paneha Veachar Kach Me'arvin Osa Upamim Osifin Lamayim Chamin. Good. So what does that mean? Not exactly sure. But sounds like what he's saying is that they would take, like, you know, take your chalet. Imagine you take your chalet off your crock pot, and you like stir and stir and stir until it turns into mush, right? V'te'ase kula guf echad. Whoa. Now, why is that mutter? That should be a problem of lisha. So if you learn like the Mishnah Berurah, it's great, because your chalent's already ready, it's cooked, it's baked. This is just like the kali. We're dealing with lisha is usher when we're dealing with raw ingredients, like flour, like morsan maybe, or the like. But when we're dealing with cooked stuff, right, you want to turn your chalent into mush, that's okay. That's not lisha. So now, those who disagree with the Mishnah Berurah, what are they going to say? I don't know. Maybe they'll say it's not mamish isa, though it sounds like the Rambam. It's guf echad. It is mamish isa. The truth is, you could understand the Rambam a little differently, and this is the way the Chazon Ish understands the Rambam. Now, the Rambam says something interesting in that tshuva. He says that just like there's no tochein, so too there's no lisha. So what does one thing have to do with the other, right? So the Chazon Ish, it's Nun Ches Os Tes, says the pshat is that just like Bishel's Mafkiyam and Meleches Tchina, because now it's very easy, it's not, there's no Shem Melacha on it. It's easy to, I don't know, when something is raw, so if you want to pulverize it, it's hard work. Something's been cooking for 18 hours, so you want to pulverize it, it's very easy. So likewise, there's no shem alacha on lisha. I assume that the pshat is that when you stir cooked foods that have been cooked for a long time, they fall apart very easily. So there's neither basically lash nor tochein. And that's why the Chazon Ish writes that if the grisin are dry after cooking, it still might be us, or according to the Rambam. Now, it's like sometimes when you make your chalent, take your chalent off, so like on top, where it's not in the water, especially if it's like a drier chalent, you'll see like a barley that's still crunchy or the like. So the Chazon Ish says, if my reading in the Rambam is correct, that would be usher to turn your chalent into mush. Doesn't sound that way from the Rambam, because the Rambam gives a blanket heter, which is why perhaps the Mishnah Berurah's theory as to... again, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't use this to explain that Rambam, but the Mishnah Berurah is using it to explain Kali, but we could argue that you see that same heter in the Rambam. Might be a good read. Not everybody agrees to this Mishnah Berurah. First of all, we've already mentioned that the Taz has issues with matzah meal and tochein with matzah meal, which presumably is against the Mishnah Berurah because it's already been baked, unless you say, well, matzah meal is not Roy Lachila, that the Mishnah Berurah is only being made if it's Roy Lachila, I'm not sure. But the Pashtus of the Taz is against Mishnah Berurah. And the Chazon Ish himself argues with the Mishnah Berurah based on the Tosefta that says it's also to be Megabel Perurim Lifnei Achola. So Mishnah Berurah, Chazon Ish's favorite Tosefta, right? He likes that one. So you can't be Megabel Perurim Lifnei Achola, so that sounds like Perurim are breadcrumbs, right? So they've already been baked, and still there's an Isher of Lisha. And that din is actually quoted by the Bir Lach himself. But perhaps... maybe that's an Issa Drabbanan because you're not being Mishana. Here you're being Mishana. You're doing Mat. Or maybe that's a little worse because they're not Roy Lachila for the old people that you're doing it. Not sure. Keep this Mishnah Berurah in mind when we get back to our famous... remember, we're going to go back to... I told you we're going to get back to the question of being the exile on Shabbos. So the Rosh Shlomo Zalman says that the Chassidish minhag to be makel, to make this egg salad on Shabbos, is relying on this Mishnah Berurah, because the eggs are already cooked. Doesn't help for the onions. So if you make it the way my family made it, you're still stuck. But at least if you make egg salad, you know, the American way, just eggs, or eggs and mayonnaise, or something like that, so then this Mishnah Berurah might be a tzad lahakel.
Onions were cooked?
What?
Onions were cooked also?
Well, if you do cooks onions, it works. The way my family makes the egg salad is the tzivilas raw onions. But you're right. If you make it with the cooked onions, then the Mishnah Berurah is going to be helpful. Now, Shlomo Zalman says it's not really enough because they don't make a shinui when they make this egg salad. But he says, it's okay because we could say ma'at means enough for that meal. And how much egg salad do you make? You don't make like enough for a week. You make enough for the meal. Maybe that's ma'at.
But maybe the Mishnah isn't going to be happy.
Of course not, but
that makes sense. The Chora makes sense. The Bir Lach has two pshatim about what Matt. One of them is Derech Achila.
Yeah, but the Chazon Ish is fine. It's fine for the Mishnah Berurah because the Chazon Ish didn't like it because the Chazon Ish is trying to be Matrin Issa D'Oraisa. If you all like the Mishnah Berurah, you've already dealt with this Issa D'Oraisa. When you make this egg salad, there's no Issa D'Oraisa. It's cooked already.
So,
I understand. We don't need a Shinui Gamor because we're dealing with an Issa D'Rabbanan. That's the point. So, the reason why it's going to be okay to make this egg salad is because we don't need to worry about a Shinui Gamor because it's only Issa D'Rabbanan why it's cooked. And so, but you still need some Shinui. Oh, I'll tell you the Shinui. The Shinui is that you're just making for that meal, and that's what the Gemara means when it says mat is okay. Shlomo Zalman Liesis Ace throws in Shlomo Kluger. Remember last time we mentioned that Rav Moshe Feinstein said, of course, we never would imagine the possibility of Lav Gidule Karka for Lisha, right? That was like, you know, last hope of that was Tochein, Melachas, Karka, farm work, this is kitchen work. But Shlomo Kluger actually says that. Shlomo Kluger says, yeah, you could... Shlomo Kluger was Hasidish, right? So you have to be mad. Every Hasidish of Oskik, we're going to see, the Buchach, everybody who's Hasidish comes up with some kula for this stuff. Anyway, so he says, it's Lav Gidule Karka, of course you can make egg salad. It still doesn't help for the onions. Yeah. But I guess they had very bland egg salad. I don't know. Fine. We'll get back to some more possible kulas for the egg salad in a moment. But just to summarize, and then I'll take your questions. So when does this heter of mat work? According to Chazon Ish, it should really work for as long as you do it in an unusual way. Following the Ramban, it means any time. The normal way to do it is for something very large. You're allowed to do it for something that's small. So it's somewhat of a limiting heter, and as we mentioned before, it's even more limited because of the ambivalence of the Chazon Ish. According to Mishnah Berurah, it's super duper limited, because according to the Mishnah Berurah, it's only going to be matir any case where we're talking about something that's already pre-cooked. Okay. Yes, Yeshua.
The Mishnah Berurah is already baked or cooked because of the Shadar Isa. So this morning I asked Rabbi about the dyes in the Mishkan. Everybody was saying that the 30th day of the Bishal came before the Lisha of the Mishkan. That's how you had Bishal and then Lisha by the Rabba.
So it depends on what the svara is. In other words, it could be that this would be true with respect to food, because Lisha is in the Sidur de Pas is is a hachana for Bishul. Moreover, the svara that the Mishnah Berurah himself says for this is that it's not leash, it's just tikkun oichel, right? And that surely wouldn't be shaykh for dyes, which are not food. So this argument would be limited to food. It wouldn't apply to dyes. Yes, you had a question?
Yeah,
Chazanish, yeah.
What's the reason to say it's limited to kali? Meaning that if the... Why would you apply it to other cases?
No, so logically it might apply to anything that you make a lot of. But it's hard to know for sure. And therefore, again, the Chazon Ish, in a sense, is l'shitaso. The Chazon Ish, and we'll see, this is not the only example. There's going to be, I think, three examples of this in our siman. Chazon Ish says that all these shinuyim work even to be matir deraisa. So on one hand, the Chazon Ish is a big makeup, right? As opposed to Mishnah Berurah, who tries to say every time a shinuy works, it's a derabanan for some reason. He has to make up all these new reasons why things are derabanans, like the one he just made up, and we'll see other reasons. Chazon Ish holds that we're dealing a big mekel. The shinuyim work even when it would otherwise be nisa deraisa. But because he's so mekel, he's also machmir. In other words, because, as opposed to the Mishnah Berurah, who is happy to interchange, you know, even though the Gemara says shinuy X for Y and Z for B, but you could mix and match. Because, now, he doesn't write it this way, but one could suggest, I think Rabbi Soloski said this, it's reasonable that since we're only dealing with the realm of derabanans, so it's easy enough to mix and match. But Chazon Ish, who holds that the shinuy is mamish matir nisa deraisa, is going to be much more hesitant to say we could be medama milsa la milsa. Now, the Chazon Ish is, as I said, ambivalent. He's unsure. But what I'm suggesting is because the stakes are so high, because we're dealing with a potential Isser d'oraisa, then we're going to be cautious about extrapolating. And the idea is that Mat is not going to be a shinoi for many things, right? It's only going to be a shinoi for things that you generally do in large scale. Certainly you can't extrapolate to things that are sometimes done in small scale. And then figuring out what's considered large scale and what's considered small scale will sometimes be hard to know, especially because perhaps when it comes to certain types of things, if you do it small scale, it's going to be much more tircha or the like. Other things, it's not more tircha, it's just like nobody bothers doing it. Like we said, for example, for bread, right? It's not like there's a qualitative difference or even additional tircha to make, you know, one roll of bread, but people just don't bother. So maybe it's not as clear that a shinoi that would constitute a shinoi. So the stakes are high because we're dealing with a deraisa, and therefore it's not obvious to extrapolate, especially because the fact that the Gemara gave different shinoyim for different things is telling and might be indicative of the fact that you shouldn't be medama milsa milsa. Okay, next shinoi that comes up in the Gemara in Daf Kuf Nun Vav Amud Aleph going on to my base is the question of shasis. So the Gemara says v'shavin shebochshin, which means govlin es hashasis b'shabis, even v'amrit ein govlin, right? That's aser to do this, at least according to Rabbi. Lo kasha habe'ava habe'raka v'animilu d'mishani. So here we have a very fascinating thing. Here we're saying that according to Rabbi, we could be matir biraka with a shinoi. Now, we've already referred to this the last time, but from here you see the Shita L'Ran notes that there's no iser deraisa for blila raka. So the Gemara says, what kind of shinoi are we talking about? Hecha mishani, I'm Rav Yosef. B'chol nosin es hachoymetz v'achakach nosin es hashasis. B'shabes nosin es hashasis v'achakach nosin es hachoymetz. So you reverse the order of the ingredients. Now, sounds like that according to Rabbi, it's good enough to have a shinoi b'shas nisina samayim, and there's no indication that you need to do any subsequent shinoi. In other words, what is the shinoi? You reverse the order. So, on Shabbos, what would you do? You would put in the vinegar first. Now, this is very logical, because the point is that according to Rebbe, the concern is the mixing of the ingredients. And therefore, as long as you have a shinoi when you mix the ingredients, even before you do, since they mix, that's ambiguous. When you add the ingredients, since the potential violation is when you add the ingredients, so a shinoi at the time of adding the ingredients would understandably permit this. What about if you hold like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda? In other words, if you hold that the chiyuv is b'shas gibul, so will a shinoi at the time of adding the ingredients be relevant? Or no? Maybe this shinoi of switching the order of adding ingredients is only relevant within the view of Rabbi, or maybe, according to Abai, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda for something that's lav bar gibul. So, remarkably, the Ramban, and this is also the view of the Drisha, says, yeah, Taka, this works even for Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Whereas the Trumas Hadeshen, Simen Nun Gimel, cited by the Beis Yosef, says absolutely not. It's only if you hold that the Shas Chiyav is the adding of the ingredients, that a Shinoi at the time of adding the ingredients is relevant. But if you hold that the Shas Chiyav is Lisha, is the Gibul, so of course that's when the Shinoi will be necessary. Now the truth is that it really sounds like from the Rif, the Rambam, and other Rishonim that they're Mekel on the Shaila, like the Ramban against the Trumas Hadeshen. Why? Let's take the Rambam, for example. The Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, and he also paskins this halacha of when he's talking about the Shasisa, so he paskins this halacha of Shinoi Besidur ingredients, right? In other words, why does the Rambam bring down this Shinoi? And likewise the Rif. Why does the Rif bring down the Shinoi of changing the order of the adding of the ingredients? That's irrelevant. They paskin like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. You see, l'chora, that they hold like the Ramban. And likewise, the truth is that's the simple understanding of the Shulchan Aruch as well, and Sif Yudalit. Nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah says you should be Machmir and the Shailen, hold like the Trumas Hadeshen, namely to make sure to also do a Shinoi at the time of Lisha or Gibul. The Chazon Ish says no. This is Diwa Maschil Umashma, is Mekel on the Shailah. Now, like the simple meaning of the Gemara according to Rav Yishonim. Now, the question is, what's the logic? In other words, the Trumas Hadeshen makes a lot of sense. The Mishnah Berurah makes a lot of sense. Why are these Rishonim Mekel? So you see here a very interesting idea, which the Ramban articulates, which is that a Shinoi before the Malacha also works. Even though you don't do a Shinoi at the time of the Malacha. And especially, according to, again, the Ramban is the one who's Mekel on this. Truth is, it works better with the Chazon Ish's first explanation before he got the Ramban, that you're doing the Shinoi when you're, like, breaking it into a bunch of things. But either way, the point is that when you do the Shinoi, you're showing that that you're doing this process in an abnormal way. And that's sufficient to redefine this act from a malacha to something that would otherwise not be aser midoraisa. It happens to be that the Rambam himself, as I mentioned, though I mentioned the Rambam paskins this, even though he paskins like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, he also has a different Havana in the Gemara that's a little different than the other Rishonim, as the Beis Yosef notes, insofar as the Rambam distinguishes between Kali and Shasas. Most Rishonim seem to basically say Kali and Shasas are the same thing. The Rambam thinks Kali and Shasas are different and they have different halachos. So the Rambam writes in Chaf Aleph Lamed Gimel, with respect to Kali, he says that Ma'at Ma'at helps. That's where the Heter Ma'at Ma'at is with respect to Kali. When it comes to Shasis, now how is Shasis different? Shasis is from Tvua Shaloivia Shlish, a Kalu Osa. So it's similar. It's, again, maybe a type of Kali. But it's not Kali with fully mature flour or grain, but Kali from immature grain. And then he says, it depends. If you're talking about a Rach, so you don't need a Shinui at all. Even harbe is mutter bevasachas because it's like chol. Apparently, shasis that's rach is, I guess, totally non-absorbent. It's like mixing water with sand. Nothing really lisha-like is taking place, and therefore it's mutter, even if you want to do a lot. Whereas when we're talking about kasha or av, then you need to do a shinur b'shas nesina sachomims. As we noted before, even on the Rambam Pasuk with Rabbi Yehuda, he thinks that's effective. So basically, according to the Rambam, it's a little more technical. If we're dealing with kali, so then you do man ma'at. If we're dealing with shasis, so then if it's rach, then you don't need a shinoi, and if it's kasha or av, so then you need to change the order. And it sounds like if you change the order, that's good enough. You don't have to do more. So again, let's just summarize. The Gemara tells us that Bedas Rebbe, there is a shinoi of reversing the order. Ramban says that works even according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. The Tumas Hadeshen says it only works according to Rebbe. And how do we paskin? So Ashkenazim, generally speaking, as we mentioned, are choshes for Sefer Truma. So therefore, anyway, you should only do the shinoi with something that's raka. And you need to do a shinoi b'shas nisina samayim. And the Mishnah Berurah says you also should make sure to do a shinoi at the time of Gibul. So then what emerges, lemaisa, under normal circumstances, shortly we'll talk about extenuating circumstances, but under normal circumstances, basically, if you're ever going to be Matir Elisha, you need to do, A, it must be a Blila Raka, because if it's Ava, then you're already toast when you add the water, and reversing of the order doesn't help to be overcome that Chesh Deraisa. So under normal circumstances, A, you need Raka, and then you need to do a Shinoi at both steps of the Elisha process. So you need to do a step one would be to reverse the order when you add the ingredients, and step two would be to do leash in an unusual way. We mentioned that Chazon Ish isn't so machmir on that shayla. To give an example, let's say you want to make baby cereal on Shabbos in a non-problematic way. So let's assume that the normal way is to add the baby cereal first and then the water. I think that probably is the normal way. Because if you add the water first, you have no idea how much baby cereal to add. But if you add the baby cereal first, you can do it. You make sure you add enough water that it's going to be raka. So you can't add it too slowly because then you've messed up already. So pour in a bunch of water so it's raka. And then you'll do a shinoi. What type of shinoi? Let's say a shesiv erev. We'll talk more about that shortly. Right, Matt isn't going to work for baby cereal. So you'll do a shinoi of shesiv erev. It's probably the easiest type of shinoi. We'll talk about how you do that in a moment. And that's going to be a permissible way to make baby cereal. Your baby might not like it, though, because it's raka. But we'll talk about that when we get to a fascinating kula of the Mishnah Berurah in just a couple minutes. The big question you have to deal with over here is, what about if there is no kvios, how to do it? In other words, if you always add the solids and then the liquids, so then on Shabbos you do the liquids and the solids. By the way, what I said wrong, when you do it, you have to add, you add the water second, but I meant to say you add the water first. Add the water first, then you add your baby cereal, and then you do the shesiv erev. Good. Now, so when this all is fine and dandy when there is a normal way of doing things during the week. If during the week you always add the solids and the liquids, so on Shabbos you'll add the liquids and then the solids. What? It's a good question. So I'll make it more pashut. Then we can talk about that in a moment. This is all fine and dandy and easy when you, as well as the rest of the world, all have a normal Seder during the week. Then you reverse it. What about if that's not the case? Either and there is no, we'll do the other extreme now, there is no normal Seder during the week, what do you do in that case? So the Taz, Sifkat Niyad Aleph, says, well, then this option is unavailable to you because you need to figure out a Shinoi, and if there's no Seder Kavua, then there's no way to do it b'Shinoi. In terms of whether it goes by the Yachad or the Rabbim, I'm actually not so sure. It sounds a little bit maybe like the Chazon Ish, it looks to go by Minhag HaOlam, but I'm not even sure. Other poskim sound like it goes by you. I'm not entirely sure about that question, actually. But the Trumas Hadeshin, one way or the other, disagrees. The Trumas Hadeshin says, no, if he's like a shasiyid, so if there's no fixed order, then do the shinoi that Chazal said, namely to put the food first. Now, what's the svar of the Chazon Ish? Not the Chazon Ish, the Trumas Hadashin. Chazon Ish doesn't like the Trumas Hadashin. What's the svar of the Trumas Hadashin? Like, why should this be a shinoi if, you know, every other Tuesday and Thursday I do it this way? I don't know. It's not so easy to understand. If you say that we're dealing anyway with an Issa D'Rabbanan and Hey Mamru Beim Amru, so then, okay, nu. In other words, I guess you could say like that. If you're dealing with something that would otherwise be Matir and Issa D'Raisa, it's very hard to imagine.
I thought he said something Matir for a Blil Arak. I thought he just... Didn't he say that?
Who's he?
The Trumas Hadashin?
Yeah.
Isn't he assuming that's because it's only Issa D'Rabbanan?
Exactly. So, but we'll see. It's not that clear, bottom line. We'll get back to that in one moment. But that's probably what the Trumas Hadashin holds. As you're saying, that we're dealing with an Issa D'Rabbanan, and it's Taka Shvacha Shinoi. But they were Matir here. Guess because of the tzorech, this activity that would normally be aser drabanan. Chazon Ish paskins like the Taz, but he says that even according to the Mach Mirim, like the Taz, not like the Trumas Hadashin, even according to Mach Mirim, b'shas hatzorech you could be mekel by relying on a shinoi b'shas gibul, like shesiv eirev or pouring it from one kli to another kli. Because by Blila Raka, since we're dealing with an Issa D'Rabbanan, you could be somech on the poskim that hold, like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, like we said anyway, Tzivov Rishonim. So, even though the Chazon Ish is machmir on that shayla, in other words, his machmir says that you can't, if there's no seder kavua, then this shino is unavailable. But in the end of the day, since we're dealing anyway with Raka, b'shas atzorech, you could be mekel. As we'll see shortly, even though Ashkenazim, the Rambar, are choshish for Shitas Rebbe, it's somewhat of Betaras Chumra, and therefore there's room for leniencies, B'shas HaTzorech, as we'll see. On the other hand, Lamaisa, I think we do Paskin like this, Trumas Hadashin, unlike the Chazon Ish, the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkata Nun Zayin sounds like he's paskining that way. Again, at the very least, when we're dealing with an Issa D'Rabbanan anyway, to follow the view of the Trumas Hadashin. Some of the contemporary Sfarim bring down, Aaron also pointed this out, that if you don't know what the normal way to do it is, you will look at the directions on the box and do it the opposite way. So I assume the logic behind that view, though it's not so obvious that it makes sense, is that the professionals know the easier way to do it, and if they're telling you one way to do it, so it must be that the other way is more difficult, and therefore, even if you yourself perhaps never caught on to the fact that it's more difficult. But probably they know what they're talking about, or something along those lines. Yes?
Wouldn't it just be that you can assume those people follow instructions?
Yeah, that could be as well. I don't know if either of those are true. In other words, I don't know if anyone reads the instructions for all sorts of things, and I think sometimes it doesn't make a difference. But if either of those are true, then you could make that case. I guess the question would be... what if that goes against the Trumas Hadashin? In other words, the way they say to do it is to put in the solid then liquid. Now, the halacha is like the Trumas Hadashin, and if you don't know, you should do solid then liquid, and you go either way. So, who are you going to pick? Right? Do you pick? So I don't know. I think in my experience. I don't have that much experience, but in other words, there's not that many times this comes up, but in the times that it does come up, I think it is usually there is a normal way to do things. Like we said, for baby cereal, it's definitely the solid first, I would think. And we'll talk about, if you're Aaron Berman, the way he makes chocolate syrup, hot cocoa, whatever, hot cocoa, where he puts 2 inches of cocoa on the bottom. So I think there's also the normal way to do things is to put the cocoa in first, then the milk or the water. So so it's also easy enough to be Mishana.
And it's not even a Blila Raka. It might just be...
No. Well, the reason why you're Choshesh is because, as we said before, when it's totally dissolved, there's nothing to talk about. It's Pashat, it's Mutter. There's no Shaila of Lisha when it's dissolved. The Chazon Ish talks about a case where it's like very thick on the bottom. Like, I don't know, maybe he's talking about the boats, you know, the Turkish coffee that Israelis like, where... or the way Aaron makes hot cocoa, where again, this is what he told me. I've never seen anyone make cocoa this way, but where there's a even, it's not like the hot cocoa gets emerged, integrated into the water, but there's a large accumulation of cocoa on the bottom. So in that case, the Chazon Ish is uncertain, but he's wondering about whether that's permissible. So to be choshish for that, if you make hot cocoa the way Aaron does, you could put the water in first and then add the cocoa. When we get to Mishnah, we'll see that there might be other advantages to doing that in terms of klisheni and right. Well, if you do it that way, so then there might be an advantage in terms of Hilchos Bishul as well, because then you're making your cocoa in a klisheni as opposed to Iroi. So there might be two reasons, actually, why you'd want to make your hot cocoa by first adding the water and then adding the cocoa versus adding the cocoa and then pouring in the water. Okay.
Would that be a chomer for Rebbe's coffee shayla, about when you make coffee on Shabbos? Because you're going to probably water left over in the coffee things. There's probably water in it to combine to the...
What type of coffee making are you referring to?
With the...
With the filter, because the Mishamer is telling us
that we should think about that.
Right. So we said that there shouldn't be an issue with Borer because it's tzol in and tzol out. Now you have an issue of Bishul. You're asking a different question. Is there an issue of Lisha? So that's an interesting question. That's very interesting, actually. It's a super love. So first of all, in that case, you couldn't reverse the order even if you wanted to, if you're making it that way. In that case, we're talking about a super lav bar gibor. So I wonder if, but that's an interesting question. In other words, you're saying maybe it should be aser al tzlisha, because I can't be mishana, so I have to pour the water onto the coffee grounds. And when I do that, so at least if you follow, if you're choshish for Rebbe, and according to Tosfos, maybe even if you follow Yosef Yehuda, you have an issue of Lisha because the water mixes. And the question is, could you argue that they remain so unintegrated that it's not Elisha's time. In other words, let me give you a Russell. Everybody would agree that, I don't know, you could have a Cheerios and milk on Shabbos, right? Ah, maybe there's Elisha. Forget the Mishnah Brewer's theory about it being cooked already, right? Even if you don't hold to that, right? Maybe there's Elisha because the milk and the Cheerios are getting they're so distinct and non-integrated that l'chora, that's not even a shayla at all of Lisha.
This isn't like sand, though? Is Mishnah Brewer sand? Sand's also been
rubbed on it. Oh, so now that's the question. So the question is, where do you draw the line, right? So what you're saying is, so if, you know, once coffee grounds are small enough that even though there's no integration whatsoever, it should be like sand, sand's also been rubbed on none. And you're stuck a little bit over here because you can't do, what kind of shino are you going to do?
Like Sabana ben Mishnah.
What?
Like a Sabana ben Mishnah.
Well, no, I don't know. I don't know how finely ground the samanim were.
It doesn't matter. It's a shriya which gets the color out.
It doesn't matter, but it could be that they're making. No, there's a little mashal. If you do, it might be like boats, right?
One second.
No. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Let's say boats, right? Which is coffee, same coffee. It's just ground much more finely, so it gets mixed in. That for sure would be a shiloh of lisha. Right? I have no doubt. Right? You're calling the water while I do the boats. I mean, you know, they have different issues. That could be okay because there's so much water, it's not shiloh. But let's say you've put a little bit of water into the boats. That for sure would be a lisha shiloh because it's so small. Maybe the samanim were something like that. Here, where coffee grounds are much larger, right? In other words, how do you make Turkish coffee versus regular coffee? Turkish coffee is regular coffee ground much more fine. But actually, I think Donnie's making a very good point. And I think about it a little more, but I think he's right. I think that it's mistaber that it's probably something like sand, and then maybe it should be a lishan shayla. Okay, good. Good, Shkaich, for coming back to that. It's hard to know where to draw the line. Donnie's suggesting that we could use sand as a model for what would be Asar Midrabanan. We're going to talk about that in depth in just a couple minutes when we get to Ugarkis. So let's hold on. And
can you define
what's Blila Ava? Blila Ava is, Chazon Ish says Blila Raka as it pours, like cake batter or pancakes batter or
the
like.
The whole thing as opposed to just liquid coming out?
Right. Now there's just three levels. As Aaron will tell you, there's blila ava, like cookie dough or bread dough. There's blila raka, like pancake dough or cake dough. And there's mayim achurim, like coffee or cocoa or the like. Not Aaron's cocoa, standard cocoa, where it gets mixed in. So the pashup shot is there's no shaila v'lisha for mayim achurim. There's a deraisa shayla for blila ava, and there's a drabanan shayla for blila raka. Now the Chazon Ish is uncertain about the case where it's mayim achurim, but there's sediment on the bottom. Do you treat that like a blila raka? In which case, there's a shayla that has to be dealt with, so you need a shinoy of sorts, or do you treat that as mayim achurim? So that's why there are those that are machmir for things like again, very thick, hot cocoa, or boats, or the like, to be mishana the seder. Some people are machmir for that for baby formula, for example. I think it's a chiddush to be machmir for baby formula that you'd need to because it gets totally integrated. There's nothing left of it. But again, maybe at the beginning there is or the like. So you might lias or seis wanna be mishana in the seder. Again, there. But that's a chumrah. It's a chumrah. There's a chumrah in a Chazon Ish. I don't even know the Chazon Ish would be machmir in that case, because there's no accumulation of sediment in any sense in that case. But again, in the case where there's a accumulation of sediment at the bottom, but most of it is a liquid, so that's where the Chazon Ish is ambivalent and maybe. Maybe there's malkum to be machmir, and if that's the case, anyway. So if you want to switch the seder, it's easy enough to do usually. Okay. So there's another sugya in the Gemara that talks about lisha. That's the Gemara in Kufin. The truth is, it's not actually at all clear that the Gemara there is talking about lisha. So it's a suffix lisha sugya, as we'll see in a moment. But the Gemara says like this. If you pulverized your garlic from before Shabbos, so you're allowed to add some liquids to it. I don't know, you want to mix a vinegar with pulverized garlic. That's mutter. Uvilvachilo yitrof. But you need to be ma'arev, not be toref. That's simple understanding, though we'll see that there's a debate in Rishonim exactly what it means. But simple understanding is that you mix in your garlic with your vinegar gently. I don't know, let's say you're making salad dressing or something like that. You mix it in gently and you don't beat it. Shum shirisko me'arav Shabbos l'machar mutter l'machar nosin l'socho pul grisin v'lo yishchok ela me'ariv. That's the Gemara says. So it's actually not just garlic, vinegar that you're mixing in. It's pulugrisin that you're mixing in. Fine. Now, it's not at all clear. So the Gemara is basically seeming to say that here also you need some type of shinoi, right? You can't be tayreif. That would be the normal way of doing it. You need to be ma'arif. As we'll see, some Rishonim say this still has nothing to do with lisha. Maybe, as we'll see, because garlic isn't in the parasha of lisha, there's not sufficient integration. But many Rishonim say, no, this is a shayla of lisha, and you need to do a shinoi, and this would be a shinoi b'shas gibel. Right, just like we said before, let's say by Kali or Morson. And it's a chiddush because this isn't even necessarily the greatest type of shinoi, it would seem. But okay, we could still imagine it's a shinoi. However, l'chora then, this Gemara is only going to be true according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, meaning to say, just like we said later on in the Gemara, that if you hold like Rebbe, then since the moment of Chiyuv is Nesinas HaMayim, so there is no way to do a shinoi unless we're dealing with Raka. So if this Gemara is dealing with Ava, so then it would have to be according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda if you think it's a shinoi shaila. Now what's interesting is that there's a Yerushalmi that seems to disagree. Yerushalmi says that if you peeled your garlics and you crushed them before Shabbos, again, we've actually already seen this Yerushalmi, it's Aser Lases L'Socho Mayim because of Lush. So it sounds like the Yerushalmi is Machmir and Yerushalmi disagrees with the Bavli and it says it's us to do this. So, well, again, just to clarify, because the Bavli says there's an Eitzah, Lo Yitrof, you should just be Ma'ariv, and the Yerushalmi sounds like it's us across the board. So, a number of Rishonim, the Or Zerua, the Urayim, the Taisus Rid, all give a very simple answer. They say, I'll tell you what, the Yerushalmi is disagreeing with the Bavli, and what's the Pshat? So one possibility is that the Yerushalmi is Choshesh HaRebbe, and therefore there's no Eitzah, and the Bavli Paskins like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, therefore it's Mutter. It's one possibility. Another possibility is that the Bavli doesn't really think this is full-fledged Lisha, or maybe Lisha at all, because there's not so much integration between the garlic and the water. Right? That's what I was saying before. This question of the amount of integration necessary for there to be a potential Isser is one that we're going to keep on coming back to. But there's a fascinating and extremely important Mordechai in this, and it's worth looking at the Mordechai inside. It's Remez Tuf Lamed Gimel. And this Mordechai, and later the Rava is going to cause us a lot of tsaris. What exactly the Mordechai is saying. The Mordechai seems to be of the position, well, I'll say it like this. First, he notes the Stira. He quotes the Bavli, and he says, Mashma mikandim kichei shuman merav Shabbos matel asis l'zoichan mashkem Shabbos amnam biyushalmi kval gadol mashma begemar dechayav dekamar haiman deshachek tuma v'chulei kad yoiv mashkem achayim shum losh. So Mordechai presents what seems to be a contradiction between the Bavli and Yerushalmi, and he quotes an answer. The Omeri, the Talmud Didan, the Pasik Memacho, Bain Biyad, Bain Bekli, right? So the Gemara that's our Gemara. The Gemara says in the Bavli, Amar Zutra, Hilchza, Kilchol Hanishmaita, Ela. Kihadit marchad shalosh mer shabbos lemachan memachin bein biyad bein bekli v'nosan sochol dvash v'lo yitrof el me'ariv. So the Bavli that is permissible, hainu kinosin my mer shabbos. That's simple. That's talking about which case where you put water in before Shabbos. And what about the Yerushalmi that's machmir? That's talking about where you didn't. Good. In other words, what's the resolution? Really, the Bavli and Yerushalmi could both be going according to Rebbe, Chora, right? And the resolution is, according to Rebbe, if you added the water before Shabbos, so then there's an Eitzah. What do? You do a Shinoi B'Shas, Lisha B'Shas Gibel, and you're fine, and that's the Bavli. And the Yerushalmi's talking about a case where you didn't add the ingredients before Shabbos, so Memela, then there's nothing you can do in a Tzasser. Now, it sounds like the Re is assuming, like the Sefer Truma, that we paskin like Rebbe, I guess conceivably it could be it's a reason, so it could be Tosfos and saying this law for Gibor. Therefore, even according to Yisrael, you have to be concerned with Nisias Mayim. More or less the same difference. And therefore, the resolution is whether or not you put water before. Good. And then, the Mordechai continues, Vimlo Nasan Mashkin Rodyom. So what do? You're stuck. I forgot to add my ingredients before Shabbos. So then, Ma'ariv Be'etzba'o, you mix it with your finger, avalo b'kli kigon kaf, but you may not use a kli. In other words, if you put water in before Shabbos, then you could use a spoon, you just can't be toireif. If you forgot to put in water before Shabbos, so then you could still stir it with your fingers. Ad kan the Mordechai. Now, why is this so tricky? On the one hand, this Mordechai seems to be holding like Sefer Truma, as we said, because he says if you didn't add water before Shabbos, you're stuck. But at the same time, he comes up with this tremendous kula, which is that you could add the water on Shabbos with, as long as you mix it with your finger. Now, that doesn't make any sense, because that would surely be usher if you hold like Rebbe, or again, if you're within Tosis' world, if it's a lav bar gibel, even according to Rebbe Yosef Yehuda. So what in the world is going on? To make matters worse, the Rama quotes this Mordechai. Now, what? Yeah, but not salad dressing, not the garlic with vinegar, or whatever we're talking about over here. So, well, it's obvious that a shinoi that won't work if it's a normal way to do things. In other words, nobody would think that using your hands for dough is a shinoi, because it's not, because that's the normal way you do it. You need dough with your hands. The question is, can you extrapolate from one to the other where it's an abnormality here and an abnormality there? Okay, so the Gra says, you know what? This doesn't make any sense. You're absolutely right. And we'll change the Girsa. Good, that's the easiest solution. I'll tell you in a moment what he says. But what's interesting is that the Gra writes that the whole Makor for the Sefer Truma, right? Sefer Truma Paskins like Rebbe. You know, where did he come from? Why did he think we passed him like Rabbi? So, Sefer Truma himself tells you the reason why he passed him like Rabbi, if you remember we talked about it last time, right? Because, based on this time, Mishnayos, right? But, the Gra says, you know what the Makor for Rabbi, what the Sefer Truma really is? It's the Yerushalmi. This Yerushalmi that states that you're stuck if you didn't mix in the water before Shabbos, obviously holds like Rabbi. And if you think that the Bavli doesn't disagree, so there we go. There we go. That's how we know we paskin like Rebbe. Anyway, that's a parenthetical point. So the Rama, again, is very strange. Because the Rama, as we said, thinks that you should really be choshesh for Sefer Truma, right? And you should really be choshesh for Rebbe. And yet, he paskins this halacha. He paskins this halacha that if you forgot to put the water before Shabbos, you could mix it with your finger. Why should that be? Doesn't make any sense. So the truth is that the Beis Yosef already asked this question. The Beis Yosef on this Mordechai says, I don't know what he's talking about. And the Gra is the Shiloh. So the Gra solves the day. He says, well, just change the Girsa. You know what? The Girsa should be V'im Nasan Mashkin Mibod Yom Ma'arev Be'etzba'o. Ah, great. Don't say V'im Lo Nasan. Take out the word Lo, and you're set. Telling you, what's the shinoi? In other words, what kind of shinoi is necessary to permit mixing? You need it to use your hands. Now, the Mishnah Brura brings down this objection of the Beis Yosef and brings down this objection of the Gra. And Itaka says, you know, the Rama / Magen Avraham, really it's Magen Avraham that makes this point, don't make one bit of sense. But he paskins it anyway. And Sifkat and Samach Beis. Now, again, part of the reason why he's comfortable doing that is because anyway, we're dealing with an issue of Rabbanan, according to this understanding. Now, again, the truth is, I should clarify a little bit when I say the Ramah is a problem. For the Ramah, if you just look at the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch, you actually wouldn't have any problems. It's only, the only problem comes from the Ramah and the Darkei Moshe Aruch. That's where the problem really objects to, and Magen Avraham. When I read the Shulchan Aruch, I had no problem, because what does the Shulchan Aruch say? Right, the Shulchan Aruch basically has two opinions, right? The first opinion is the Rov Rishonim that we pass in the Rabbi Yossi Behuda, right? And then we have this Rama who comments on that. The Yesh Omrim says you need to use your fingers. So I would have said, within the view of Rabbi Yossi Behuda, the Rama is saying, you know what? More machmir shinoi, right? It's not enough to just do it slowly. You need to use your finger, right? And in fact, there's a whole issue in the Girsa and the Mechaber. That's one Girsa and the Mechaber himself says that, because our Girsa and the Mechaber is v'l'yitrof b'koach. But one Girsa and the Mechaber is v'l'yitrof b'kaf. So what would that mean? If you don't do a kaf, what do you use? Your finger. Good. So maybe that's even the Mechaber's view. In other words, the Rama is commenting on the first opinion of the Mechaber, who's Mekel, who's not Choshish for Sefer Truma, not Choshish for Rabbi, and the like. And then the Mechaber afterwards says, Yesh Omrim, and that's Sefer Truma. So it's no problem in the Lashon of the Ramah as it appears in Shulchan Aruch. The problem more is when you look at the Darkei Moshe, especially Darkei Moshe Aruch, as the Bir Halacha points out, where he sounds like the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham seems like he's saying that this shinui works even according to Rabbi. But why should it work according to Rabbi? So that's a mystery. So Halach L'maisa, then, there are these three different views. According to the Gra, if you Paskin like, or your choshes for Rabbi, like Ashkenazim should be, so then, if you didn't add the ingredients in before Shabbos, there's nothing to do. If you Paskin like the first opinion of the Mechaber, then it's easy. Even if you didn't add the ingredients in before Shabbos, you could mix it, just do it gently, and don't be tayreif. And then, there's this middle view, the view of the Magen Avraham, which sounds like the Rama and sounds like the Mishnah accepts, which is a very strange idea, hard to understand, namely that it's mutter even if you hold like Rebbe to be ma'ariv b'kaf. And that's very hard to understand.
Is that middle view?
What?
That's the middle view.
That's middle view.
That is mutter.
It's mutter as long as you use your finger, even if you didn't add the ingredients beforehand. Now, I know we're late. Let's just try to finish this topic, and then next time we'll start with the next topic. So in Sif Tezvav, Shin Chafal Tezvav, Chardu Shalosh Me'er Shabbos, L'macha Yochel Ariv, L'arvo B'yayin. What time is it? All right. I guess we'll stop. Fine. That's what we got up to. Okay.